Hi.
Yes, I'm not Dr. Una, but my name is Cheta Anachuku and I'm her daughter. Before you get into the episode, I wanted to tell you about an amazing new masterclass my mom will be hosting on Thursday, April 18th at 6 p.m. EST, called The Top 3 Ways to Attract Patients to Your Private Practice in 2024. She will share the strategies that are working in her private practice and in the practices of her clients who are running seven-figure practices. It's not one to miss, so head over to save your spot at entremd.com/workshop. That's www.entremd.com/workshop. And be sure to share this with the private practice owners in your life. They will love you forever. Now, here's Dr. Una.
Hi, docs. Welcome to the EntreMD podcast, where it is all about helping amazing physicians just like you embrace entrepreneurship so you can have the freedom to live life and practice medicine on your terms. I'm your host, Dr. Una. Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the EntreMD podcast. And I am so excited about this episode because I have a very special guest for you. And it is Ms. Shayna Weisinger. And she is the CEO and the founder of Repurpose House. And if you know me, you know I'm big on producing content, but she shows you how to repurpose the content so it can live on like almost forever. All right. So just, you know, buckle up, get ready, listen, get ready to take action. And this is going to be one of the best episodes. So, Ms. Shayna, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me. No pressure. One of the best episodes. I love it.
Don't worry. You, in your natural state, you would knock this out of the park.
So Oh, thank you.
I have no fear saying that. All right. So I'm going to give you a moment to introduce yourself to my listeners.
Well, I'm Shayna, and my background is video production for strategic content marketing. So I've been doing video for a very long time. I went to school for film and production. It's been a passion of mine forever. And then when I melded with the marketing world, I was like, oh man, people can actually leverage this thing that I'm so passionate about to make money for their businesses. So it was kind of a wonderful little joining forces, if you will. And through kind of a really long story of pivoting and adjusting and finding, you know, things that different businesses needed in their content, like strategies, I finally niched down into repurposing content for social media. So then Repurpose House was born. It's really not that simple, but it's, you know, where we're at today.
And Repurpose House, I mean, I was just telling you this story earlier on before we started recording. So first of all, I started doing, you know, videos and all this stuff for initially my private practice and then EntreMD. And I was like, you know, we're going to do this. We're going to put it out there and all of that stuff. And then I listened to a podcast episode by Amy Potterfield, and she was talking about repurposing and all this stuff. And I was like, this is so amazing. I just can't do it. I can't create 8 pieces of content from every piece of content. Like, I have skills, but not that many skills. So I went on Buzzsprout. That's the host for my podcast. And then I saw a blog post that you did on repurposing content. I was like, this is brilliant. And then I click on your link and I go to Repurpose House. I'm like, wait, there's a company called Repurpose House? Like, I can just own my space and produce my content and then work with these people. And I was like, this is fascinating. So started working with you guys. And then when I reached out, I was like, hey, you know, will you come on the podcast? And you're like, yes. I'm like, yeah. So this is really good. I'm super, you know, you can tell I'm super pumped about it. But all right, so let's get to the nitty gritty. So tell me about content marketing, right? This is more your space. What is that? You know, because what we see is this is my business, come use my business is seen as sleazy and all of that stuff. But there's a finer way to market stuff, right? Where you're serving and getting what you want at the same time. So tell me your thoughts about content marketing, what it is.
Yeah, well, absolutely. So one of the iterations, when I started my video production company, one of the reasons that I started it was because I would get people coming up to me asking to make some like epic 7-minute video about how awesome their business is and why you should work with them. And my first response would always be, no, because nobody cares. Nobody wants to hear about how awesome you are 24/7. Like, eventually they may want to know about how awesome you are, but you need to be able to give them content and ideas and different things that they can apply to their life or their business, depending on what services or products you provide. you need to give them something of value before they start taking an interest in, you know, who you are as a business or a brand. And so one of the reasons that I segued into like video podcasting was because, like this, we're giving information. We're trying to educate and help people in their businesses and their lives. And what's so cool about content marketing is it gives you an opportunity to be able to give your expertise, give through other experts in the fields that can help your audience. And as you grow an audience and they learn from you, you become an obvious choice for services when they're needed. So it's like one of those things, like Nike's not telling you constantly just to buy their shoes. They're offering messages about like women empowerment or like whatever's yes. going on, you know? And it's not just like buy Nike. But when you go to buy some sneakers, Nike's inevitably a brand that pops up in your head. You may or may not buy Nike, but ultimately they're sending positive messages that, you know, hopefully hit you where you're at. And I think that's really a lesson to take in marketing in general, is just not to always ask. You have to give. And you can ask after you've given enough, but you just have to be very tactful and strategic in how you do it.
Awesome. And that's the same way our paths crossed, right? Because you were giving in form of a blog post. And I'm like, wait, I need that, you know? And so that was content marketing. But I love what you said, that nobody cares how great you are, right? And as one of my mentors who put it, is like everybody is focused on is on one channel, WIIFM. What's in it for me? They don't care about you, how great your business is. So you have to give, solve problems, give them quick wins. And then they're like, oh, wait, she can help me. I should be using her services. So that's amazing. So what's your impression of the importance of content marketing in any kind of business? Is this something that's, you know, it's kind of optional, doesn't really matter, you'll be exceptional if you did it? Like, what are your thoughts about that?
You know, I mean, I'm sure there are companies who do okay without it. I know that those companies would do much better if they utilized it. So, I mean, anybody can do a little bit of business via luck or network or whatever. But if you really want to expand your audience, your network, you're bringing in eyeballs, you have to do content marketing in some capacity. And I know that at times it can seem overwhelming because people hear content marketing, they're like, oh my gosh, there's so many things I have to do, but that's not the case. You know, you start with one thing and get really good at that thing, and then make sure you're repurposing that thing and putting it all over the place. And then once you get good at one thing, then it's the next thing. It's basically like the dominoes. Don't line them all up in front of you, one right. at a time, you know, just attack one thing at a time. And then you'll start to see traction come from the individual pieces of content that you consistently create. Because the problem is overwhelm becomes real, and then consistency goes out the window. So making sure that you're only biting off enough that you can chew and consistently being on top of it.
Nice. Okay, great. Now, we're going to go into the nitty-gritty of repurposing our content. But before we do that, I saw a blog post that you wrote, included the half-life of different of social media posts on different platforms. And I was like, I think everybody needs to kind of get a feel for this so that when you start talking about the strategy, they're like, yes, I'm going to do that because what I've been doing is not working as well as I thought it was. So can you tell me the half-life of content on the different social media posts? Like if I put a post on Facebook or Instagram, how long is it living there?
Yeah, so it's crazy. Like it's mind-blowing how short posts last on social media.
Social media has ADHD.
Oh, it's crazy. It's crazy. And like our attention span is so short, it's nuts. So like, okay, here's the actual numbers. I have them right here. I pulled them up really quick. Twitter only gets 18 minutes of traction on the feed. So you post something on Twitter and 18 minutes later, it's no longer on the feed for anybody. Like that's mind blowing. I don't honestly, like I'm a big fan of be really good at the things you're like good at and don't overdo. Twitter's not my thing. I'm like, it breaks my heart that it only lasts that long. And so, I mean, admittedly, Twitter is not my platform, but Facebook is only 5 hours. So if you post a video or a piece of content on Facebook, 5 hours later, it's no longer relevant on anybody's feed unless people are actually like commenting, engaging, sharing, things like that. On Instagram, it's 21 hours, which so you get a lot more out of Instagram than you do on Facebook. LinkedIn has the longest engagement. So you get 24 hours on LinkedIn. And what's
A whole day.
A whole day. Good for you. Yeah. It's weird though, because sometimes I don't get traction at all on my LinkedIn posts until at least 12 hours later, like no views, no nothing. So I don't know if something's going on with that algorithm, but like 24 hours is really what you get. I personally believe that the life cycle of a LinkedIn post is actually a lot longer than that if it's a good piece of content because you're getting engagement and it will continue to have life in it over the course of the week if you can kind of play it right. There's like strategies behind making sure your LinkedIn content gets engagement consistently, but that's like a day is the most. I mean, YouTube is a kind of its own thing. I don't really consider that a social media platform.
Right.
Because it's just different. But yeah, at 24 hours being the longest you have on any platform, it's pretty sad and terrifying all at the same time.
So if you're serious about your business and you're posting once a week, okay. So we'll leave that alone. Okay. So let's say I made a 3-minute video, right? I haven't posted it anywhere. I haven't uploaded it anywhere. I made a 3-minute video or I spent 2 hours creating this really fancy image quote on Canva. But you know, how should I be repurposing my content so it can stay alive longer?
Okay. So as far as the repurposed assets, the beauty of it is you have all of these platforms to play on. So you create one asset and it can be used many different ways on many different platforms, which is why like we like to make sure everything's formatted properly for all of them so that you can use them everywhere. So like, let's say for instance, you've got a 3-minute video, like you're saying, just by itself. What you should do, you have it, make sure it's the right size for feeds. The right size for feeds is going to be square. So anything you scroll with your thumb, right? You scroll, that's going to be a square video is always going to be what you optimize for. So that one can live on Facebook. You obviously post it to Facebook, post it to LinkedIn. You can post it to Twitter. Won't last very long, but you're going to put it on there. At 3 minutes, you cannot post to Instagram's feed, but what you can do is format it vertical and post it to IGTV. Now, actually, that's the better way to post anything on Instagram. When Instagram rolled out IGTV, nobody used it because they didn't get it. They were like, we only film a minute. Like, we know that there's a limitation. Why would we go longer? Everybody was so used to it. So what happened was people who did post to IGTV, and then there's this little feature at the bottom when you post that has a toggle and it says preview to feed. So essentially, it just scrolls through the feed also. People will still see it. If you post on IGTV and then preview to the feed, you will get more views than you would if you just posted on the feed. So we have a lot of people who have come back at us and been like, yeah, no, that's absolutely the case because they tested it and stuff.
Got it.
So yeah, that's definitely the way to do it. Also, it allows you to have longer content and not be limited by that 1 minute. So anyway, you'll be able to post it there also. Since you already have it vertical, you can also put it in stories and people are like, oh, well, there's a 15-second limit or a 1-minute limit and it will chop it up into 4 15-second segments. But you can use a little tool called Continual. There's a bunch of them out there that will chop up your video automatically into as many 15-second videos as you need.
Right. Okay. And you said it's Continual?
Continual. I think it's like a dollar, but okay. It's going to save me time for sure.
Yeah.
And then another thing you can do is post in groups. Now, groups are kind of one of those tightrope walks though, because a lot of groups have rules about not posting branded content, which is great because otherwise it's like spam city and who wants to live there. But what you can do is if you're making sure you're utilizing groups the right way, which is offering your expertise consistently, solving problems, consistently engaging, talking to people in comments, you get a little bit of leeway if you're giving content out there that's helpful and not self-promotional. We have some clients who are consistently able to do that in groups that don't generally let them because they're so helpful that they're like, also the content's so helpful that they get a free pass on it. So being very careful about groups, but also utilizing those audiences, creating your own group and building your own audience so that they're seeing it. There's like lots of ways you can take that one tiny clip and now it's working all over the place for you.
Right. Okay. So me, I'm going like, okay, so I have to create all this content. I'm definitely not going to use it once because that's way too much work. Right. And, you know, and you know, if I put it on Twitter, like whatever number of people saw it, but after 18 minutes it was gone.
Yeah.
So how do you create a library of sorts, right? Like all this content you're creating, you have a place where you dump them so that you can recycle them because that's part of repurposing as well. Right. So what are your recommendations? What would be a good place to store all that stuff?
Well, as far as storing it, it just depends on what long form content you're starting with. So like this type of interview style podcast, video podcast is a really, really great way to start with long form content because it's all give. You're talking about expertise, you're talking to your audience, and at the length that you're at, you have so much repurposing power with it because in a 30-minute episode, I would hope there's more than one or two 2-minute clips that were pretty cool in there. So you can get a lot of bang for your buck on that.
You're on it. So yes.
I hope hope so. Gosh. But yeah, so I mean, thinking about like, okay, one long form piece of content takes you 30 minutes to film. Maybe you have somebody who edits it for you, or you do something really simple in the editing piece. And now, you know, it can live on, like, obviously you load it to Google Drive until it's ready to rock and roll. And then you upload it to YouTube. And you also upload it to Stitcher and or whatever it is that's actually hosting your audio. And now that's your long form. And then you can always circle back to have it repurposed and consistently promoted. One thing that people forget is that if they had an awesome episode 3 months ago, it just goes away and they're done with it because they're onto the new episode. But really, there's so many great nuggets that were in that episode that you can consistently keep promoting. So making sure you go back to older pieces of content that did well, because your audience is consistently changing. You never know who's going to listen. Making sure that you're able to pull from those also. But as far as like other types of long form content, like let's say you just filmed a 5 minute video about some, like a question that you get asked consistently from your clients, which are great pieces of content to start from. Like think of all the questions you get asked constantly and record videos addressing those questions. Make those blog posts, like upload them to YouTube, embed them into your blog, because that's going to actually help your SEO ranking. And then have a little blog post written about that video. Now you've got SEO in the blog, you have a blog post, you've got embedded video, and then you can repurpose little chunks of that that say like a little 1.5 minute teaser clip and be like, hey, to, you know, watch the whole video, go here. And now you're taking them off of the platform, which is what you want, and onto your site where hopefully you have like a lead magnet or something asking them to opt into your newsletter or more blog posts, things like that. So where you host the pillar content, the long form, is very important, because you want to have a place to send people when you're repurposing the smaller clips.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's a lot of good stuff. Okay. Long form, short form, whole nine yards. We got it. Okay. So what would you tell the entrepreneur who feels like they don't have enough? Like, I've had clients, I'm like, I'm going to give you a challenge. You're going to do a Facebook Live every day for the next 5 days. They're like, I don't have enough. I don't have enough to say. Like, I'm going to run out of stuff, you know? And I'm like, it's not possible. What would you tell that person?
I have to tell that to people a lot. So that's a great question. What I just said, think of anything that you get asked constantly and just start writing it down. I have a list on my phone that's just topics. As I'm driving, I'll be like, oh, this is something that somebody asked me today. Or, oh, this is something that I learned in my field. Or if I'm talking to like my content curator and she brings something up that's new and cool with Facebook, anytime you hear something that's like unique, just put it on the list. Because the problem is you don't want to stop and just film right then and there because it's unrealistic. Just put it on a running list. Hey Siri, X, Y, like remind me about X, Y, Z, whatever. And then film them all at once. Change your shirt. Be done with it. You know what I mean? Like, but sorry, Siri's yelling at me now because I said the hey. Sorry about that.
You're okay.
But yeah, I mean, ultimately, just think of the questions you get asked constantly. And that's a really great place to start. And if you feel like you run out of that kind of stuff, send out a couple of emails to colleagues or to clients and be like, what do you have questions about now? Or what did you have questions about before you started working with me? And you will get a lot of answers. Another cool way to do it is we put out a survey to our existing clients and we ask them questions about their struggles before they signed up with us and the struggles that they still have currently. But we asked very pointed questions and got incredible answers. And that's a great list to start working from also. Because, you know, when you're making content, if it helps your current clients too, even better, right?
Yep. Okay. So you said a lot of really good stuff here. So think of the questions that people have been asking. So especially for my physicians that are in private practice, they're like, I don't have content. I'm like, you get asked questions every day. Like every patient visit is a question. Like, doc, I'm here because. That's content. That's all day, every day, you know? So, you know, think of questions they ask you. And then beyond that, ask them, because you're making the videos for them. So they know what they want to hear about. They know what their struggles are and all of that. And the survey part is really cool doing that as well. And then two neat tricks here is to keep a running tab on your phone. So as you go like, oh, wow, that's really cool. You're not going to remember if you don't write it down, right? So the statement is the shortest pen is longer than the longest memory. Just type it in somewhere. So keep that running tab. And then the batching, which is also really cool because it's not realistic to think you're going to do videos every day, all the time. But if you have that running list, you can create little outlines and have five shirts and you're good to go. You can even wear your PJ bottoms.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Who knows if I'm wearing them now? You don't know.
Who knows? We don't know. We don't know. We don't ask. Yeah. That is so powerful. And that would be very helpful because that's the common question that I get.
Yeah. Well, and like the task that you should now be assigning is after every patient visit, write a topic down. That's it.
That's even better.
At the end of the week, you got a month's worth of videos, right?
Now we're going to repurpose this part of the podcast.
Perfect.
Because this was good.
It's so meta.
Yep. So because if you make a task like that, you're going to end up with a lot of really good content, things that people want to hear. Because sometimes when we're creating content, we're in love with what we want to do, right? I know people need this. Well, that's not what they want. So they don't really care what you think they need. You have to come from where they want and you can add on what they need, right? Like
that's exactly right.
Yeah. You know, so that is good. I'm going to have to do that the next time I go in to see patients. Okay, great. So what are your strategies for using social media as opposed to social media using you?
Oh man, that's a real loaded question. Well played. Well,
hey, I'm just saying. <That's>
the truth, right? Yeah. So just like I mentioned before, just be really good at a handful of things. Like don't overwhelm yourself with thinking that you have to do all of it. Pick a platform that works for you, that you know you have an audience, that you can build the right audience, right? Where are the people that you want to talk to actually spending their time? And that's the most important part. And then once you're in there, then you can give the right types of content to them and engage. Another thing to do is reach out and comment with other people that you know would really want to engage with that post. Like for instance, if it is about like after one client and you write your little thing and you make the video and you put who the client was, you can tag them in that video and be like, hey, I made this because of you. And now that person's also engaging with the content, which means it's populating to the top of their feed and their friends and their family are seeing you interacting with them. Especially as a doctor, I feel like that would be a really great way to engage with existing patients because you're creating content for them. And it's like a built-in testimonial, if you will. I mean, I think that's a really great way to utilize it in this space.
Right. So pick one, don't get overwhelmed.
Yes.
And then don't forget that you're an entrepreneur and just chill out on Facebook and watch funny cat videos. And all my clients are laughing because I talk about funny cat videos all the time. You know, like remember why you're there.
Yeah. My social feeds are laced with my dogs. So it's like, you're going to see a dog pic for sure within a couple of scrolls.
Yep. All right. So tell us a little bit about your company, what you do, how we can find you and stuff like that.
Sure. Yeah. So we take any type of content, video, audio, text, so like blog posts, ebooks, things like that, and we repurpose it properly for social. So the big headlines, we'll brand everything, captions are the nightmare that nobody wants to deal with. That's the real value we bring to this because anybody can caption videos, but nobody wants to. And also just to stress the importance of how much you need to use captions, 85% of people on Facebook watch videos on mute. So if you are a talking head and you think that they're listening to what you're saying, you've lost 85% of your audience because nobody is listening. It's upsetting, but it is what it is. Oh, and wow. If you think LinkedIn is any better because it's a bunch of professionals, 80% of them don't listen. So we're all horrible. Nobody listens to video. We're all watching it on mute. So captions are a massive, massive part of how you'll get more engagement on social. So we do the captions, we shape it properly. So squares for feeds, vertical for stories and IGTV. We give you YouTube assets as well, but then we do all the little image quotes, thumbnails for everything. So essentially, if you submit a piece of content, any type of content by 5 p.m., by 8 a.m. the next morning, you have assets being delivered to your inbox and they're ready to be posted on social. So we just try to take the pain point out of trying to make sure everything looks right for social, make sure it's branded right, make sure it's like formally, like formatted properly. And we take that out of it. So you can just keep on doing the stuff that you're great at and want to continue doing and not have to worry about all of the back end stuff that makes repurposing content for social such a pain.
Well, just so you know, I really, really love what you do.
Thank you. I'm so glad. You're the reason we do it. So I'm so glad it's helpful.
I love it. And I think the first week after I signed on, I talked to Sarah at Repurpose House. I was like, listen, I already have clients that are coming to you guys like day one. She was like, you haven't even used the set. I said, don't worry about it. I've seen your stuff. We're good. And I have clients that use you guys. I'm like, if you're serious about social media, this is what you need to do. So we love what you do. So give them the website where they can find you and we'll take it from there.
Yeah, it's repurposehouse.com. That's it. Lots of info there. There's lots of things to learn there too. It's a great resource for knowledge. So yeah, that's going to be it. And then we're on social media. You can find me and my dogs at any platform / Shayna Weisinger. And on social, Repurpose House is Repurpose House Co. C-O.
Got it. Okay. And your company was kind enough to give a really nice discount code for our listeners. So if you get on there and you're like, yeah, she's amazing, just like Dr. Una said, and you sign up for the plans, I think it's the Pro and Higher. That is what Sarah told me. So any of those, you get $200 off your first payment or whichever. So that is unbelievable. So the code you would enter would be EntreMD. So ENTREMD. And you get your $200 off. But yeah, the company's amazing. And it would really make your content matter. You don't want to sweat and stress and produce something that would go on Twitter and die after 18 minutes. A slow, sure death.
So, well, it's a pretty fast death. So
it's a very fast death. Right. Well, thank you so much, Shayna, for coming on. This was really good. I'm so glad my listeners got the opportunity to experience you and your company.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This has been awesome. It's been great actually getting a chance to meet you and chatting. Thanks for everything you've been doing and sharing us with, you know, your audience. It's so awesome.
Well, my pleasure. My pleasure. So that's it, people. So go check them out. That's my call to action for you today. And, you know, check them out. If you're going to sign up, use the discount code, and I'll see you on the next episode.
If you love this podcast, please take a moment to subscribe, share, and review it on iTunes. As you go about your week, remember, you're not just an MD, you're an EntreMD. Don't forget to tune in next week for another great episode. Until next time.